Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, March 11th, 8:05 Central Time, which means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Todd Kolbaum, Director of Rural and Small Town Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Good morning, Pastor Kolbaum.
Good morning, Andy. How are you today?
I'm well. And you, sir?
Doing great, thanks.
Good, good, good. How are the cows this morning?
They're, you know, as far as I've checked, they're fine.
Good, good.
There aren't many between my house and the school, though, so...
I know every once in a while you encounter some animals and livestock on your way in. What's your view out of your office?
The view out of my office right now, I'm looking at a beautiful sunrise. It's a little hazy off over the football field, and beyond that, it's corn and beans. Well, it will be corn and beans. Right now, it's empty field.
A football field at St. Paul's Lutheran High School, right there in Concordia, Missouri, right?
That's right.
Very good. Very good. Well, what's going on with rural and small town missions today?
Well, we're in the office beyond lectionary. We're putting some finishing touches on getting our national mission conference for this coming fall in November put together. So all the publicity is getting ready to go out on that, and registration will open up sometime in April. And so we're putting all the finishing touches on that. We've got a great webinar coming up tomorrow. That's on small confirmations or small church confirmations, and
cool.
Kind of an innovative family, getting families involved in confirmation.
That's a great idea.
Oh, you know, I think it's so important. And I, you know, somebody wrote me a really good article once on that, too. I don't know, maybe Andy Bates, but... So we've got that going on. So there's a lot happening here.
Well, very good. It sounds like you all stay busy.
Well, we're trying.
Well, you mentioned the national RSTM conference coming up in November. Are there official dates on that yet?
Yeah, there. I think it's the 6th through the 8th is the actual dates of it.
It's. I know it's usually in early November.
Yeah, so. November 6th through 8th, I believe. Let me...
Always a good time at that conference.
Oh, no, I said that wrong. It's 5th through the 6th.
5th through the 6th, November 5th through the 6th. Mark your calendars now.
5th, 6th, and 7th. Boy, I'm apparently getting on the radio at 8 in the morning is making me have trouble reading.
But you can blame it on the time change, the daylight saving time change.
I just read a little bit of an article last night that said the day after the time change is the worst day for fatal car accidents.
Yeah.
Because people are so discombobulated from the time change. So I guess it's affecting me 3 days in.
Lots of people have been blaming everything on the time change, so
just might as well
go ahead. Yeah, there you go.
Unfortunately, my confusion is every day, but at least now I have an excuse.
Well, speaking of confusion, I want to make sure that I have the same text. We're on Mark chapter 10 today, verses 1-12. Is that right?
I hope so.
Good.
That's
reading.
What I planned on.
We're reading the same lectionary, so that's helpful. Anything you'd like for us to know about Mark chapter 10 before we dig in today?
Well, I tell you what, this is one of those chapters that most guys, when they when they run across it, go, oh, well, how about we just skip this? Because it's a tough reading. It's a tough one to hear because you know the people, because it's about divorce and remarriage, you know folks in the parish have gone through this. There are people going through it currently. There's folks that are remarried. And so they hear these words, and the pastor has to speak them, read them, if nothing else, but maybe even preach on them, and it can be a struggle. But these are great words from Jesus, a great teaching. So let's not shy away from it. Let's just dig in and go.
Amen. Let's not shy away from God's word, even if it comes right at us in the face of our own sinful human nature. That's what we need to hear.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I fully admit when I read when I got the email with what the text was going to be for today, I
was like, oh.
And as I was studying it over the last week or so, I thought, come on now, this is good. This is good. And I am convinced now that I'm right.
Amen. All right. Well, we are studying Mark chapter 10 today, verses 1 through 12 with Pastor Todd Kolbaum, Director of Rural and Small Town Missions for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Email is kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." All right, let's go back and look at the, I know we've got more to read, but let's take a look at that verse 1. And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, he was, as was his custom, he taught them. Jesus travels, people gather around him, he teaches.
Common occurrence.
Yeah.
People are always flocking to where Jesus is at to receive his teaching. And so just to get a little context about where we pick up chapter 10 here, we get the end of chapter 8. If we got to back up all the way through chapter 9, which isn't very long, we get this call to discipleship. At the very end, again, we get and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, and the gospel's will save it." And so on, he goes on teaching. And through the transfiguration, we get this move, of course, towards Jerusalem. We get the prediction of his death and his resurrection. And so when we pick up chapter 10, we get a sense that we're moving towards this teaching on discipleship, because Jesus is now teaching his disciples and those crowds that come around what it's going to be like after he's gone. What is life going to be like? Where are things going? How are we going to do things? And what's the best way to do things? And I like the Lutheran Study Bible has a great little footnote on this. It says, "Temptation to avoid the anguish to carry the cross is great. A safe life tempts us to deny Christ and his cross." So this is where Jesus is meeting the folks as they gather around him once again after he leaves the region of Judea, where he's moving into his new ministry area here, probably around Capernaum, if we take that from Matthew 19, which is kind of a parallel chapter, and here he's teaching them.
All right, so he's teaching them, they're gathered around, and so as the Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Pharisees always want to test him, don't they?
Aren't they, though? We so much appreciate the fact that Mark adds this in, and the Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, they don't really want the answer. They want him to trip up in his answer so they can catch him on something. But you almost get the sense, and as I read through a couple of commentaries, I had this confirmed for me. You get the sense that, yes, they wanted to trip him up, but in a way, perhaps, and this is somewhat subjective, but in a way, perhaps, really did want somewhat of an answer, because at the time, you really had two schools of thought. You had the more conservative school of thought on divorce, where it was strictly prohibited unless infidelity, immorality in the marriage, or you had the other one that said, as is added in the Matthew 19 text, for any cause. So you kind of have this more liberal interpretation of that. So which side are you going to pick? I'm not saying it's necessarily kind of a political debate, but we're going to get you one way or another.
The Pharisees want to test him. Do we do that too? Do we try to test Jesus and his, or do we try to test God's word? Do we try to test Jesus?
Well, I think really, if we look at the entirety of this text today, in application, we can see so much, and we'll talk more about this specifically, but so often we want Jesus to give us the right answer. Last Sunday in church, Pastor Hagen here at St. Paul's in Concordia preached on what Jesus do you want? And, you know, do you want the Jesus that's going to tell you what you want to hear? Do you want the Jesus that's going to, you know, smite your enemy? Do you want the Jesus that's going to, you know, fill in the blank? And so often I think that's the probably the worst way, if you will, in quotation marks, I guess, that we test Jesus, because we're always wanting Jesus to make the rules about us. And that's our self-centered, sinful nature. And so just like the Pharisees, they want to hear what they want to hear. It proves their point, and so it makes them feel better about who and what they are.
We always want to try to make ourselves feel better about who and what we are, right?
Isn't that crazy?
He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" I like this Jesus guy.
I do.
He answers a question with a question.
What a great answer. What did Moses command you? It's kind of like, and every time I read this, it just reminds me of the umpteen times as a parent of five kids I've said, "What did I tell you about that?"
What did Moses command you? They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away."
And it's just that simple. You know, Jesus doesn't want to engage in this debate. He turns the question back on them. You know, what did Moses command you? What is written in Scripture? Genesis 1, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female, and for this reason, in Genesis 2, man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. But here the Pharisees jump right to, and they fall right into Jesus' trap. They think they're trapping him. He's getting them to fall into the trap. Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. And from Deuteronomy 24, we hear that. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies, who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife. This is important later. And after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Here the Pharisees jump right to, which they want to do all the time, let's talk about the letter of the law, not the substance of the law. Let's not talk about what this law was given for. Let's talk about how we can do whatever we can do, not to get around it, but to placate ourselves so we think we're obeying it.
That's pretty much so what we do.
It really is. I mean, what can I right. do to convince myself this is a good idea? I don't know how many times, just like the Pharisees, I've had folks in my office, and they have a myriad, and I'm not talking about just divorce, but yes, specifically with that too, with marital problems. In my office, and they have a myriad of reasons why what their plan is a good idea. And some you just have to look at them, kind of like Jesus did the Pharisees, and say, "Well, what were you taught about this?" Yeah, but. Well, I don't think there's a yeah, but in Scripture. This is what it is. This is what it says.
They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. Not because it's what I want. It's as your God, it's not because this is what I want for you, but rather because of your hardness of heart.
Right. Jesus, and you nail it there, Andy. Jesus is reminding them, this isn't the way we want things. If you go back for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. He gets that in verse 7. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. This is what God wants. You know this. You've read this. This is the heart of everything. Moses, God is granting this through Moses, this thing from Deuteronomy, this certificate of divorce, because he knows, because of your hardness, because of your sinful nature, you're going to do this anyway. And so here is a way that we can mitigate the collateral damage, if you will. I like what, where did I read that? Well, wherever I read it, I'll give credit to them if it pops into my head. But the folks that talk about how this is, well, it's, of course I know where I read it. It's out of the it's out of the Large Catechism. 2 to 3 days after the time change, out of the Large Catechism, where Luther talks about on the Sixth Commandment. It's about not harming our neighbor. Hmm. And what closer neighbor do you have than your spouse? Because your spouse is one flesh with you. And so here, here what Moses is doing is allowing this, like I said, this mitigation of the collateral damage, trying to keep the least amount of trouble, especially in that world in that time when the woman had very little right and really had nothing if she didn't have her father or her husband or a son that was going to take care of her and make some money for her. So where in Genesis 2 the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man, and for this reason, as I read before, they become one flesh. This is what God wants. This is God's plan for marriage, nothing else. The other thing is a way to make things work. There's a text from a commentary by M. Hooker called The Gospel According to St. Mark, and he wrote this. This is a text of concession, not a text of intention. You do not learn to fly an airplane by following the instructions for making a crash landing. You will not be successful in war if you train by the rules for beating a retreat. The same is true of marriage and divorce. The exceptional measures necessary when a marriage fails are of no help in discovering the meaning and intention of marriage. Jesus endeavors to recover God's will for marriage, not to argue about possible exceptions to it. His opponents argue what is permissible. He points to what is commanded.
Let's continue that. We need to take a break, and when we come back from that break, we'll continue discussing the text. We're in Mark chapter 10 today, studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Todd Kolbaum from Rural and Small Town Mission. We'll continue the conversation right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Across the globe, thousands of children flee violence alone. Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service believes the best way to ensure they are safe and equipped for a brighter tomorrow is to place them with a foster family. Foster families come from diverse backgrounds, are single or married. The love and support they provide changes their lives and their children's lives. Please prayerfully consider giving the gift of family to an immigrant child. LIRS.org/fostercare to learn more.
KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth or sync up to listen in your car while driving anywhere. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org. On the air, online, and on demand, the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily lectionary, the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Todd Kolbaum, Director of Rural and Small Town Missions for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're in Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, right around verse 6. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Pastor, right before we went to break, you were referencing, I believe, the Large Catechism, Luther's Large Catechism, as we were discussing this, and really pointing out that we try to justify our own actions apart from God's word. We come up with all kinds of good reasons, but this isn't divorce or breaking this. What God has brought together, what God has joined together, is not necessarily God's desire. Going back to verse 5, Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote you this commandment. It's not because this is what I want, but what I want is that this creation, this order that I've given, God made them male and female. And when they're brought together, let nothing separate them. That's what I want for man, but because of your hardness of heart, you have this commandment.
Right. I think of it in terms of what Paul says about things being permissible. You know, this might be permissible, but is it the best? Mm. Is it what God really wants?
Mm-hmm.
And we know we're all sinners. We're all, and even in the perfect marriage, quote unquote, there's going to be problems and there's going to be sin against one another. But it's about, again, if we go back to the idea that this text is about discipleship, and in the following text, because you have, you know, in chapter 10, you've got the children coming to Jesus, you've got the rich young man, how do I inherit the kingdom, and so on and so forth, until he gets to his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You have this whole this idea that, okay, if this is about discipleship, then what's the way that I can model discipleship even in every aspect of my life, especially the married life, because it's right there. You know, it's right in front of everybody, and it's where I bring up children. It's where I can have probably one of the greatest effects to the greater audience, if
mm-hmm.
you will.
Sure. Well, as you were describing this you know, loving your neighbor, this relationship here, this is one of the highest forms of fellowship.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Where do we model other forms of fellowship? And this is the thing, that this union is the same union that God uses to describe in his word the relationship of Christ and the church.
Hmm.
So mm-hmm. when we think of it in that way, you know, when we think of it as the bride of Christ, here we are one body with Christ, we are one flesh with this spouse. You know, think about and this is pretty heavy, but think about that relationship and how that plays out, and not in a, yes, this is heavy law to be sure,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't have to be. Because, well, it always is. I shouldn't misspeak like that. It always is. But good third use of the law and sanctification. God has given all of this. Here's how we can live our lives in the best way possible, and God knows that. Because regardless of how clean the divorce is, especially in today's society, where it's painfully easy, there is collateral damage. And to be sure, we can sit and nitpick all day long, and we can come up with this just like the Pharisees do. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? That's why there's an out, if you will. And that's why there's things that are permissible. But ultimately, in the best way you can imagine this, this is going to be what is best.
Hmm. Verse 10. Well, anything else up through verse 9 before we go on to verse 10?
No, I think we're... we could probably talk all day about...
And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery.
Okay.
Now, this is the one that I'm sure you just love discussing in your study with people today. I mean, divorce is a pretty significant part of American culture today.
Oh, pretty significant. Yeah. They talk anecdotally, I think. Well, I suppose they have hard statistics, but generally speaking, they talk about the divorce rate decreasing a little bit in today's mm-hmm. society, only because people aren't getting married. They're just cohabitating. That doesn't absolve anyone from that. That's even worse collateral damage, but that's not today's study. But it is, because we're still talking of somewhere around 50%. And even in the church, you know, the statistics mm-hmm. aren't any better in
right.
the church.
Which means it's a very real issue.
It's right. People are experiencing this. Mm-hmm. And we've got to deal with it in a real way. And candy coating it doesn't do anybody any good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that they go back to the house. So they pull away from the crowd. They pull away from the disciples. The Pharisees. He's kind of done what he needs to do there, so to speak. And they pull away to the house, which they often do, get a little more secluded so they can kind of take this teaching to the next level. And they simply, they're stuck in Deuteronomy, chapter 24, Deuteronomy. They're stuck there with what Moses said. So they're not making the connection, what Jesus is saying. Here's what's best. This is what's permissible. Focus on what God really wants. They're not making that connection. So they ask, okay, but what about? So he takes it to the next level. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And this is the radical part, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. And so you have this idea that the woman actually has some power, maybe isn't the right word, but responsibility here too.
Mm-hmm.
This was so patriarchal, this society, and so you have that. And so you have Jesus saying, again, we're talking about the letter or the substance, you know, what's going on here. So he's being pretty hardcore on it, saying, again, hammering it home, what God says about the one flesh union of husband and wife is the best. This is what he desires. This is how he wants us to live. That's why he created us. If you go back to creation, you know, why did he create woman in the first place? Adam needed a helpmate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not good for him to be alone.
It was not good for him to be alone. So he's saying, here you go, guys. Let's not try to get around this. Let's meet this head on.
Hmm. Looking over, this is in some sense, this is a tough text because of the hardness of our hearts.
Right.
But at the same time, it's God's word. And often we want to say amen to God's word when we hear gospel. But even even when we hear God's law, we yet should say amen.
Right. Exactly.
Even when it's hard to hear.
Even when it's hard to hear. And so that's the beauty of the word of God, is that even when it's hard for me to hear, I need to listen to it without itching ears.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to listen to God's word with the predisposition of thinking, I'm going to read the parts that I like. And there's all sorts of folks who do that, and there's lots of folks who teach that way. And I'll just dismiss the rest because it's either archaic or out of date or unapplicable to this scenario in life or whatever the case may be. And I'm going to discount all that stuff. And so I don't want to listen it to with itching ears, trying to hear what I want to hear. I need to hear it for what it is. And here it is. It's pretty hard stuff, in a society where this is so very prevalent.
Someone has experienced divorce, whether it was by their choice or not,
mm-hmm.
And they get to this verses 10 through 12, and they're reading it, and they're just completely crushed.
Right.
What do you say to them, to that person who's listening and gets to this text? They've
right.
experienced divorce. They're completely crushed. What's your word to them?
Jesus died for this reason. This is where we're at. Mark 3:28, I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. This is why Jesus Amen. Went to the cross. This is why Jesus died. And so how appropriate, I guess, in a way, that here Jesus has predicted his death and resurrection. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. We are in the season of Lent where we are getting very close now. We're at the fourth Lenten midweek service tonight. We're getting there. We're almost to Easter where we celebrate the fact, once again, that this happened, not that we don't celebrate it every day, and, and especially weekly in our services. But this is why this all happened, because if we back up to Jesus' first answer, or response to the Pharisees' reaction to his question, because of the hardness of your hearts. And so this is where the sweet gospel comes in. We need to know the reality of the crushing law, and here comes in the gospel for healing. And so you get the sense that the Pharisees, later you have the rich young man in Mark, I'm trying to live my life maybe in, I don't want to say planned repentance, but I'm going to try to live my life skirting the law, and thinking that I'm doing pretty well on my own, and I can earn this because I'm doing all right, when I can't. And sometimes even in this one flesh union, things fall apart, and Jesus died for that collateral damage. And so with repentant hearts, we come crushed before the Lord, and he says, your sins are forgiven. And we are revived and brought back to life, just as we were in the waters of the holy baptism. He feeds us his flesh, we drink his blood, and our sins are forgiven, and we are restored.
Amen. Looking over the text, I don't know, that is there anything else that you wanted to share on this text today? I mean, I don't know if there really is anything else you can say after that.
Yeah, it's I think what you can take this text again, like you said, Andy, if you've experienced this, you're divorced, you're maybe remarried, and these are hard words to hear, but here once again, this brings us back to the knowledge that I need Jesus and his forgiveness. As a married man who's been married once and things are going great, for all intents and purposes, I need to hear this text, mm-hmm. because it's a reminder to me, the Spirit works through these words of God for me, reminding me that when things do get rough, I need to gut it out and turn to him and walk hand in hand with my one flesh spouse and go to the Lord and say, and when I screw up, repentance and forgiveness with my spouse. When she screws up, the same thing back again, mm-hmm. and we're walking this road because this is the way it needs to be. This is the best way.
This is what God has given.
Right, and to not just throw it away because society says, well, what's the big deal? I read somewhere, it was in a commentary somewhere, if folks would, I think it was in Gibbs's commentary on Matthew, Matthew 19, which is, like I said, it's kind of a parallel text here. How great it would be if folks kind of paid attention to this before they got married and did a lot of study on it and matured in this and in the faith and then entered into that relationship with a better understanding of this type of text for down the road.
Exactly. studying God's word in preparation for marriage, always a good thing.
Well, you know, it's kind of good marriage, premarital counseling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Kolbaum, thanks so much for helping us study this text in Mark 10. Thanks for being a brave soul and a faithful pastor and helping us dig into Mark 10 today. I really appreciate it. And God bless all the work that you and Amy are doing out there and all the others who are working together to support our rural and small town congregations and ministries.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Witness Wednesday with the Reverend Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the LCMS. Hope you can stick around for that in just about 5 minutes. Stick around for more. His time coming up right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.